following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a summer sermon series entitled Bless You, Experiencing God's Blessing in a World Full of Challenge. Concluding sermon in the series will be next Sunday. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have observed in this series that we find Jesus' central teaching about blessing in the Beatitudes, eight sayings with which Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount. We heard all eight in the scripture reading from the Gospels this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And finally, the one that will be our focus this morning, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You will note that a basic feature in most of the Beatitudes is that they are counterintuitive. Jesus says that people are blessed when they are in a situation that does not sound very blessed. This is especially the case with the final beatitude, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the persecuted." This verse becomes all the more jarring when we realize that the Greek word translated here as blessed is the word makarios, which carries the idea of being happy. The verse could be translated as, "Happy are the persecuted." Obviously, Jesus is challenging conventional notions about where happiness is to be found. And just to be sure that we get the point, Jesus adds emphasis to this final beatitude by repeating the idea. He begins by saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Then he goes on to say the same thing again, but with lots more detail. "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." This does not sound like the road to happiness. But Jesus continues and says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus concludes by referring to the persecution of the biblical prophets, who indeed were often severely persecuted on account of their faithfulness to God. Prophet Jeremiah was thrown into a cistern and left to rot because he spoke unpopular words. The prophet Elijah was forced to flee for his life from the wicked Queen Jezebel. In the New Testament, John the Baptist was beheaded for his faithfulness, and Jesus, of course, was crucified. The persecution of the faithful continued unabated through the years of the early church. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned, beaten, stoned, and flogged on multiple occasions, and many early Christians suffered severe persecution under the Roman Empire. Today, Christians around the world continue to be persecuted. The persecution has been especially severe in some Muslim countries. Christians have been persecuted in India, and persecution of Christians has been increasing recently in China. Christianity has been growing at a very rapid pace in China, which apparently is alarming the Communist Party leadership. The government has launched a campaign to forcibly tear down the crosses from the tops of church buildings. Nearly 1,700 crosses have been toppled to date. The pastor of China's largest church, the Chang'e Church, a pastor known in the international community as Joseph Gu, has publicly resisted the crackdown. He was arrested and has been in prison since January. He and his wife sent a letter to the congregation in which they wrote, "Chang'e Church is experiencing unprecedented, chilling trials. Increasingly, we feel God's good intentions in this storm. It will refine every impurity in our ministry team." For centuries, people of faith facing persecution have taken it as an opportunity to deepen and purify their faith so that they could witness yet more powerfully for Christ. As Christians have responded to persecution in commitment, the result has been some of the times of greatest growth in the church. We, of course, do not face the kind of violent outward persecution that afflicts Christians in many other countries, but we still may find ourselves in circumstances where our faith is coming under considerable pressure. We may be in circles at school or work or among acquaintances where our faith is belittled. We may face serious trials in life which cause our faith to be challenged. And we live in a society in which our faith can easily be undermined by the secular, materialistic culture that surrounds us. What then do we do when in various ways our faith is under assault? Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad." But how can you be glad or happy when the world is giving you grief? Jesus goes on to give us two key reasons for rejoicing, two key attitudes to have when we are faced with trials in life. First, he says, your reward is great in heaven. Jesus urges us here to keep our eye on the goal. The present trials are transitory. We can find strength to persevere and a sense of joy in doing so if we remember that we are heading through Christ toward a tremendous destiny. Secondly, Jesus lifts up the specific example of the prophets, as he says, "For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The prophets were people who aligned themselves with the purposes of God and who devoted themselves to God's work no matter what the difficulty. The prophets were people who found joy not because things were going nicely for them, but because they were able to share meaningfully in what God was doing in the world. This then is how Jesus says that we can rejoice and be glad even when our circumstances are tough. We can do so by joining ourselves with the prophets and aligning ourselves with God's will and keeping our eye on our ultimate destiny. Clearly, the joy of which Jesus speaks is not a pleasant feeling arising from good fortune. The joy of Jesus is much deeper. It is the spiritual blessing of being in harmony with God and sharing in God's purposes. All this means that when we face persecutions and trials, the answer is not just to try to escape difficulty or to manufacture some diversions to try to offset our troubles. The real answer is to devote ourselves yet more fully to God and to God's work. This is precisely what the prophets have done throughout the centuries, and it is what we continue to do as a church today. As we wrestle with trials in our own personal lives, and as we face great challenges in the world at large, our answer as a church is to join with God and to be in mission to the world. A good example of that in recent weeks can be seen in our church's response to the story of a girl in Uganda named Zanita. Zanita is the niece of church members Andy and Josephine Lepp. She suffers from sickle cell disease, a debilitating illness which causes excruciating bouts of pain. There is a treatment for the disease which can bring about a complete cure, but the cost for the treatment, including the cost of travel to a hospital in India where the treatment could be done, would amount to $55,000. How could this family possibly raise $55,000? Our church responded a few weeks ago by making an appeal for Zanita. We recently got a letter from her father, which I would like to read for you. This is to acknowledge receipt and appreciate all the contributions you made toward our daughter Zanita's bone marrow treatment costs in India. We are informed that you raised a total of $9,002 towards Zanita's treatment. This is, by far, the largest contribution made by any group towards Zanita's campaign drive. I and my family are therefore extremely overwhelmed by the love and support you have extended to us in this very stressful and challenging time. Our prayer is for God to bless you exceedingly in all your endeavors. We are glad to inform you that as of today, the Save Zanita campaign has raised a total of $50,828 of the required $55,000, thus leaving a balance of $4,172. And that might be even smaller by now, as this letter is several days old. We have already made a deposit at the hospital, obtained visas, and are ready to set off on the 15th of August. That's tomorrow. Your support is a very big boost towards Anita's treatment, and we as a family can never thank you enough for the generosity you have displayed. I specifically acknowledge my brother-in-law, Dr. Andrew Lepp, for taking the bold move to fundraise for Zanita. I acknowledge the United Methodist Church of Kent for accepting to run this campaign for someone thousands of miles away and unknown to them. This is a true revelation of the boundless love of Jesus Christ at work in your hearts. May God bless you and always reward you for your efforts. There is real joy to be found in sharing in God's work. All this relates to what we noted in the opening sermon in the series, that when the Bible speaks of blessing and uses a word that connotes happiness, it is not talking about the sort of fleeting feeling of personal well-being that people often think of when they think of happiness. The blessing of God is a spiritual condition of fellowship with God and with God's purpose, which brings a deep and abiding joy even in the face of serious trials. This is what the Apostle Peter was talking about in the passage we heard earlier, where he echoed the words of Jesus and said, "Rejoice insofar as you are sharing in Christ's sufferings. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of God is resting on you." How then can you be happy or glad when the world gives you grief? You don't have to be happy about the grief, but we can find joy in the midst of trial when we look to God in faith and commit ourselves to God's call. Peter summed it up well as he said, "Let those who are suffering entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good." Let us pray. Well, Lord, we give thanks that as we face challenges and trials in life, you are with us. You are here to uphold, empower, guide, and sustain us, to be at work in and through our lives. Inspire us, O Lord, to put our trust in you. Open ourselves to how your Spirit would work in and through us today, that, Lord, we might journey with you in faith, resting on your strength, joining in how your Spirit would truly empower and work through us, that we might share in your purposes in our time. We thank you, Lord, that you draw us together as a church to be instruments of your compassion and your grace in our world. We do reach out to persons around us who are in times of particular need. We do thank you, Lord, we can support one another as a church. We lift up our fellow United Methodists at the Northampton United Methodist Church this weekend. We continue to reach out in prayer for Zanita and family, for your power of healing to be at work in her as they head off on that journey to India. We pray, Lord, you would lead us as we reach out into our world at large in many ways, a world that so often is hurting and in trouble. Guide us, Lord, that we might be truly agents of your grace and your strength and encouragement and your help, that, Lord, through us, your kingdom might be made a greater reality in our world today as we grow together in faith and as we lift to you the praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.